Okay, let's do everybody sit down and then find out who's standing up. And whoo. Can you guys come up, fill up in here? And if you're. Deanne's waving no at me. And if you need to. Oh, sorry. Are you okay?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, there's room up here, you guys. There's a whole row that just emptied out. And there's some room right here. Right. In fact, there's a ton of room right here. Yeah. Just come on in and fill in. Don't worry about interrupting me. You're not going to throw me off. We're just all coping, okay? Hey, the title of tonight's sermon is Responding to the Challenge of God. Also could be titled, Crap, Now What Do We Do? And let me tell you, I am preaching tonight specific to this reality. The fact that we are a church that is growing faster than we know what to do with. And so I want to talk about that tonight. I want to talk about what I'm observing. I want to take some time to talk about the vision of our church, because I think we've got enough new folks in here tonight that I want to have an opportunity to speak to what I think we are called to be and do. And then I want to talk about some of the opportunities that we have in front of us, and then some of the challenges I think we're going to face, okay? So I'm going to go from the hip tonight, which isn't all that unusual, but I really want you to engage with me, because folks, we have got some exciting things ahead of us, and we've got some challenges ahead of us, and it's going to, and for us, I think, to respond to God in this place, it's going to take all of us hitting on all cylinders responding to God. And so I just want to jump off with that thing. I think this is an exciting and challenging time in the life of our church. Y'all agree?
Yeah.
How many think it's exciting? How many think it's challenging? Okay, yeah, it feels like it's both those things in me. On the exciting side, I just am astounded by the level of growth that we're experiencing. And obviously, one of the things that if we walk in here, we see almost right off the bat is just numerically, we just got more people than we've got seats, right? And so that just paints a certain picture that something's happening here, that God is available to folks, and that people are connecting in a way that really feels good and right. And more than that, we want to be expansive in terms of, I mean, we're not doing any marketing campaigns. I mean, you all are generating the excitement about whatever you perceive God's doing here. And so in a sense, there's this very real reality that we are growing as God is doing something in the context of our community. But here's one of the other things that I, as a pastor, I have an opportunity to perceive, and obviously I can't perceive it on a macro scale, but in the interactions I have on a micro scale, I perceive it, and that is this. Not only are we growing in breadth, but we're growing in depth. I really believe, as I interact with people, not only is God getting busy about expanding the scope of the nature of our ministry, but He's also calling people to deeper and deeper commitments to Himself. And that people are facing and dealing with issues that perhaps they've been running from for a long time, because in this place, they're connecting with God and finding the freedom and the grace to have the courage to deal with those things. And in a sense, there's another group of people that have been sitting on the sidelines, and they're finding an opportunity and permission to risk in terms of their experience of God and their willingness to go out there and say, God, I'm here. I want my life to be for You. Do with me what You want. And that's incredibly exciting. I see people forming new relationships all the time. And all these things, guys, are signs of the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. That God is in a sense, empowering His people to do the things that He calls them to do. And that ministry is happening, and that's such a coded word. But what I mean by that is that life and work is happening in the kingdom of God in concert with what God wants to do in our lives. I don't know if that makes sense at all. But in a sense, that God is doing something, and you all are responding to it. And I don't know how to quantify it. In a sense, I feel like I'm struggling to get my arms around it. Another thing that's happening besides just growth is that I see things happening in the context of our community that I had always hoped would be true of a church that I would participate in. How awesome a gift was it to have Sam and Christy last week come in and share their stories? Was that just unbelievable? You know what happened to me the next morning? I was walking in the building, and somebody stopped me on the street. And they said, can I get in the church? And I said, sure. And then we were walking in the church, and I started going to the church. He goes, well, listen, actually, I just want to make a donation to Veronica's Voice. Can I do it through the church? And I said, sure. And he handed me an envelope, and it was thick. And so I ran upstairs and I opened up, and there were five wads of $100 bills stacked in tens, so $5,000. Just like that. And just to see the life that happens when people experience the Holy Spirit and actually know that God cares about them and they're free to operate out of the overflow of that. The fact that that Sam and Christy are becoming a part of our community, that Chris and Tammy Jaley from the Hope Center are partnering with us in the context of this church, and that the more I get to know people in the church, the more I'm amazed at the number of people who are sacrificially living their lives for the sake of growing God's kingdom and being involved in that. You know what? I get emails from people who had absolutely written off church, who had had so many emotional scars their experience with church that they said they had made vows that they would never again walk into a church. And that people are finding grace and healing and an opportunity to connect to God and to allow some of those scars to be healed. And then the other thing that I think is the most exciting thing for me is that there are people who are walking in who have no experience, or at least there are people who are walking in here who are discovering who God is and what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. And lives are being transformed. That for me as a pastor, that's intoxicating. To know that the Spirit of God is operatively transforming people's lives and their hearts. There's nothing like it in the world. I mean, if I were to take the time tonight to ask you guys what exciting things that you would know about, you would probably tell me some things that I'm unaware. I talked to somebody tonight who told me that four of his friends moved from Austin just to be in this church. I have no idea who that is. I don't know what that means. But we have some challenges too. One is we just don't have any space. And you know whose fault this is? Yours. I got to do a little survey, okay? If you've talked to somebody about church in the last month, raise your hand. Somebody doesn't go to Jacob's Well. If you've talked to somebody who doesn't go to church in the last month, okay, and we can do this survey a whole lot. Go ahead. If you've talked to that somebody in the last month and they've come to church with you, raise your hand. Okay, if you've talked to somebody and two people have come, raise your hand. Okay, if you've talked to somebody and three people have come, raise your hand. Four people. See, you people are the problem. Quit it! No, this is the reality. Jesus gets to working in our life, and the overflow of that is that we want to bring people along with us. I mean, read John chapter 1 and 2. Jesus interacting with the first disciples he calls. And if you look at the story, what happens is the minute these people walk away from Jesus, they grow and they grab two more people and they say, "You've got to come and hear this guy." And in a sense, I fully believe that the life of God is playing itself out in our community, and it's messy as anything, and we don't have anything figured out, but God is here. And when we experience it, folks, I think for years I've labored under this idea, this weightiness that says, you know what, you have to share your faith with people, and it is the most God-awful experience you've ever had. And you got to twist people's arm to want to talk about Jesus. You know what the reality is I think it ought to feel like this. You can't believe what it looks like for me to have a life in God with this amazing community of people that I'm just beginning to know. But I've never experienced anything like it. Will you come with me? It just feels right. And there's something that's so good about that and so challenging about it at the same time. One of the things that we're fighting as a church is that now with this many people and the fact that there's so many people every week that's new, we have to work a lot harder to be known, don't we? There are people that have been coming here for a long time and they look around and they don't recognize anybody, and that feels like it's displacing to them. And there are those of you who are coming here for the first time and you see this thing and you go, "I want to be a part." And you don't know how. And we're struggling with that as well. There's a sense in which there's so much activity in life going on that we don't know what to do. You know, here's the reality. I don't have any easy answers for us. I've never known what in the heck I'm doing. Yeah, you think I'm just saying that. Ask the people who work around me. It's really true. I believe that Jacob's Well is first and foremost a community and not a corporation. And that if we were a corporation, we could afford to have a business plan and all these very strategic goals, and we could, you know, find the right people to help us do those things, and we could plow into existence this thing that we'd call church, and that would feel awful. But the reality is that we're a community of people who are trying to the best of our ability to live life together with God. And as that's happened, it's grown. And more people have said, I want to participate in that life. And the result is that it's created a mess. As I was kind of praying and walking around the church before the service tonight, my friend Father Adam came by. He's been out of town. Those of you who've been around for a while have heard me mention him. He's a monk at Conception Abbey. And I go up there, and he's kind of a spiritual director, but also a friend to me. And it was funny that he came, because as I was talking to him about some of the challenges that we're having here tonight, and not just tonight, but just in the life of our community, he says, this is great stuff. Because you have to remember something. The Holy Spirit is like a three-year-old. Okay? You all saw this baby up here squirming around. That is what the Holy Spirit is like. We think the Holy Spirit is this really safe third person of the Trinity that we can kind of codify and control and define by our theology. But the reality is the Holy Spirit is a mess. He comes in and he just absolutely squirms around and creates chaos in life and then says, deal with it. And you know what? I mean, Jesus says as much when he's talking to Nicodemus. He says the Spirit comes from where, you know, it comes from here. You don't know where it's going. But those born of the Spirit perceive it. And so in a sense, we're having to deal with the issues that I believe God is generating in our midst. And I think that we could face some temptations to try and get our handles around this. I want to share with you a passage that has become kind of a life verse for me. I think it applies in the context of our church, but it's something that I read often in the context of my own life. You guys ever experience confusion in your life? Yeah, no. Well, isn't it fair that maybe we ought to experience confusion in our corporate life if we're a community? Yeah, I think we should. And you know what the temptation for me is in my life when I'm experiencing confusion? To try and wrest control out of it. To get my hands around it, to remove the confusion. Because when I'm confused, I have a couple of emotional responses. Well, let me ask you, what are emotional responses when you're confused? Fear?
Anger?
I mean, that's mine. Well, I do not like to not know what's going on. And so when I feel confused, I get angry. And oftentimes then the behavior that comes out of that is a means to try and re-seize control, because I don't like to be dependent. I mean, I say I do, but I like to be in control. And so in a sense, I think that the life of following Jesus is this almost adventure of trying to chase a three-year-old. And that may offend some of you, but I think the reality is that Jesus is swerving when we want to go one way and doing other things, and that he upsets all of our plans. And he doesn't make your life better, he makes your life worse, but in the best kind of way. Because it's life. And when we're left to ourselves, what we create and what we try to control, well, it might work, but it's not life. And when we surrender ourselves to Jesus and just say, here I am and here we are, Lord, then man, he makes a mess. But you know what? It's unbelievable. It's this. It's a mess. And anybody who's telling you something different than that, they're trying to sell you something. So here's this passage in Isaiah chapter 50, verses 10 to 11. This is what Isaiah says. Who among you fears the Lord and obeys his servant? Okay, so he's talking to people who are servants and followers of God. Who among you fears the Lord and obeys his servant? If you are walking in darkness, confused, without a ray of light, trust in the Lord and rely on your God. Let me read that again. If you are walking in darkness without a ray of light, trust in the Lord and rely on your God. But watch out, you who live by your own light, and warm yourselves by your own fires. This is the reward you will receive from me. You will soon lie down in great torment. That's a pretty hardcore verse. Do you get what's being said there by Isaiah? He's saying, listen, as we are people who are following God, there come times in our life when we find ourselves in the midst of the most compelling darkness and frightening darkness, and we think that there's something wrong with us because we're following God, right? And maybe God ought to make all our problems go away. But he doesn't. In fact, sometimes he leads us into problems because the reality is he wants to create life in us and he wants to break us on our dependencies on ourselves and others so that we might rely on him and actually have life. And so he leads us into these places of darkness as his followers. And what is Isaiah saying the temptation is in the midst of that darkness? Lighting our own fires. That when we're confused, when we don't know what to do, we just try to wrest control ourselves. We all do this 100 ways in our lives, don't we? When we're facing confusion, try to figure out what we need to do. You know what? I think a lot of sin in our lives is that very thing. When we have a legitimate need or a legitimate fear or a legitimate something going on, we seek to meet it in an illegitimate way rather than trusting in God. There are people who tell you that as people who are followers of Jesus, we really love sin. You know what? I don't buy it. I think we love God and we settle for sin. Because sin is a shortcut to actually receiving what we really need from God. Sin is meeting a legitimate need in an illegitimate way. And I often think that what we seek to do is settle and sit there when we're confused rather than staying in the darkness and trusting in God and reaching out our hands, hoping to God that he will reach out and grab us. What we do is we reach out something a little bit closer. And it can be anything. It can be a relationship. It can be an addiction. Whether it's work, pornography, alcohol, abuse. All these things are all means of trying to create light in situations where we're totally confused and dealing with it. You with me on that? And I think the temptation is great. Not only as in our individual lives, but in our church. And so what I want to do is I want to be willing as your pastor and as a leader in this community to allow us to stay in darkness until we have a sense of what God's doing. And also to declare it when we feel like God's leading us into a place of light and knowledge. So here's the deal. Jacob's well, who are we? We started with this idea that God was forming us as an authentic biblical community. Authentic, that we are who we are, that we come here and to the best of our ability, we take off the masks. We don't go through the motions. We don't try to pretend we're something we're not. We deal with the reality of our lives. And you know what? Here's the challenge of this. That means that sometimes we're really honest about the crap in our lives. And it also means we're really honest about the great stuff in our lives too. And sometimes when we talk about authenticity, all people want to do is wallow in the bad stuff. And that's not reality. There's a lot of pain in this room. And there's a lot of hard stuff going on in lives. There's also a lot of grace and growth and life in this room. And that we live our lives together to the best of our ability, letting what is in here mirror itself out here. People asked me today how I was doing. I said, I'm doing crappy. My eldest son has mono, and I spent the weekend when I was supposed to be celebrating my anniversary mopping up vomit and diarrhea from my youngest son. It was awful. It's a bad weekend. I'm exhausted. Okay? I love God. My life is going great. It's both realities. You with me? And so we are authentic. We're also biblical. We walk our lives out in the story of God and his people. We're authentic. There's a sense of what you see is what you get. And the reality over here on the other side is that we're biblical. We are struggling within the confines of the scriptural story. And that we ourselves participate in that biblical story. And the place that we do that is not as individual monads walking around disconnected from each other, but as a community of people. We live in an America that tells us you are an individual and your life is meant to be lived in individual aggrandizement. We're called to be a community of people that are authentic with each other,
and then are walking our lives out with the understanding that God is about doing something in our lives. We're an authentic biblical community where people can experience and express the reality of God's love. Let me say it. This is our vision statement. An authentic biblical community where people experience and express the reality of God's love. We are here experiencing the reality of God's love. And as we are filled with God, then we can't help but express that love in our lives. What's the reality of God's love? At least my understanding of it, the reality of God's love, the person Jesus Christ. God's love becoming real in our lives. And so my deep desire is that God would form us as a community of people that are expanding the kingdom of God. Let me read another passage to you from Isaiah. Isaiah 43. This is one of the verses that I read early on in the days of Jacob's Well, when we were still called Midtown Church Project. And this passage is really compelling to me. It says, "But forget all that. It is nothing compared to what I am going to do. For I am about to do a brand new thing. See, I have already begun. Do you not see it? I will make a pathway through the wilderness for my people to come home. I will create rivers for them in the desert. The wild animals in the fields will thank me, the jackals and ostriches too, for giving them water in the wilderness. Yes, I will make springs in the desert so that my chosen people can be refreshed. I have made Israel for myself, and they will someday honor me before the whole world." I am deeply convinced that we live in a culture that is desperate to know God. And the church is the last place in the world that they would ever think to meet him. And I don't mean just get information about God. I mean somebody would come to church and actually encounter the Spirit of the living God. I believe that our culture today for many people feels like that wilderness. And that people are desperately hungry and thirsty to know God. And that's some of what I spent last fall talking about, the idea that we live in a postmodern, post-Christian culture. And many of the ways that we've articulated faith have become, while at one time life-giving, now constricting. So that we can't hardly perceive the life of God in us anymore. And so Jacob's Well is about creating space where people can encounter God. And we define space very liberally. Emotionally, intellectually, relationally, aesthetically, that it would be beautiful. And that as people, we would all be engaged, body, soul, mind, and spirit. That God would come into this place and meet us. You know, in December, we bought this building. And I don't know how many of you were here, but I did a message about feeling like we were taking a step as a church. You know, for 3.5, 4 years, we had been what's called in church lingo a church plant, which means a new work. Our church is about 4 years old, 4.5 years old. And it felt like with the purchasing of this building and some other things that were going on in the life of the church that we were actually taking a step and that we could no longer consider ourselves this church plant. We had to say the fact was we're a church. Now we're a church. We have to grow up and we have to take some steps. And I talked about some of the things that I felt like we needed to do as a challenge to us. And here's the things that I said that I think needed to be true about our community as we grow up. One, we need more leaders. We need more people who are saying, "This is my home and God has called me to this place and my hand is at the plow here. I'm available. Show me what it looks like." And I mean leaders holistically, that every part of your life is given over to God. And so that you're not just showing here looking for a place to serve, but it means that you're participating financially in the life of the church. It means that you're sharing your life with people around you. It means that you are doing the things that God has called you to be a participating member of this community. We need people to step up. We can't do it otherwise. We can't respond to God without the opportunity to have other people respond to God, if that makes sense. Another thing I said is that we need to move more and more and more into the nitty-gritty of people's lives. And what I mean by that is I just have this feeling that we live in this culture where people are incredibly hungry for God, and they may be on the outskirts of where the church has been willing to go. And I think as a community, we need to be more and more and more willing to enter those places. so that we might bring God there and so that we might discover God in those places and be transformed ourselves. We've got to work out what that means. The last thing I said is I feel like we are called to not just be a community of artists, but to be a community of people where there are artists who are fully expressing their creative gifts, and that more creativity needs to be released in this congregation, and not just in the arts, but creativity in the parts of our in the parts of our church that are a business, in the parts of our church that are a counseling situation, that we need to be thinking creatively, and more people need to do that. So I've got a couple big steps that I think that we're going to take in order to get to this place. One is that we're going to start a second worship gathering, which, you know, maybe seems like a little bit overdue. This is something that we've really fought because we're trying to figure out what it means to be faithful to God. And to be honest with you, I've had a great deal of confusion about this idea because I so love the feel of community that happens here. And the fear that we possess is that if we try to do it somewhere else at a different time, that we won't do it again. But you know what? I mean, we all have to be honest as well, too. Very few of us come in here and have meaningful conversations with anybody that feels like community. There's a great feel in this room. But I don't think that we have to be afraid of God not being able to do that in us at another time. And so we've set a date of March 7th, and we're going to meet at 10:30 on Sunday morning in addition to 5:30 on Sunday nights. And folks, it's going to require a lot of us to participate. Mike's going to have to help figure out how to lead worship with more people. Phil's going to have to figure out with a team of people what it looks like to do children's ministry in a different context. There's people that we're going to need to participate in the hospitality life of our church. There's so many challenges that we have in front of us. But what I need to know is that you guys are willing, where you feel God's call, to take that step. You know what the challenge is? Is that when we have an opportunity to do something, you know how we often as Americans make the decision whether or not we're going to do it or not? We say, will I enjoy myself? Right? That's the first grid. So, hey, there's going to be a Sunday worshiping community, a gathering on Sunday morning. Maybe I know they have this huge need for people to help make that thing happen, that God's kingdom might actually expand and have more places for people to hear about who he is. I'll maybe do that if I think I'm going to enjoy it. And if we jump that hurdle, you know the next one we say is? I'll do it if I feel like I can be successful at it. Right? And what's the third one that we often do if we do it at all? What is God doing and how do I participate with it? And as a result, because we get so caught up in the idea of am I enjoying myself or can I be successful, that we never get to the third one. I would suggest to you that's an upside down way of looking at reality. When we pray and we seek God and we say, God, what are you doing? Where are you active? How can I participate with you? Then all of a sudden we find this world open up in front of us. And then what happens is we step out and we find that we're successful at the things that God is calling us to do. Maybe not in the way that our world defines success, but that we're successful at being faithful to God. And then you know the amazing thing that happens as a result of that? We find ourselves enjoying it. You with me on that? You understand how that works? And so, folks, when I talk about confusion, we're trying to figure this thing out. We're trying to figure out what it looks like for our community to expand and to do these things in ways that are in concert with the vision of our church. But you know what? We can't figure that out by ourselves. We need your participation with us in that. And we're going to have to, over the next couple of weeks, figure out how to talk about that. The second thing that I'm really excited about doing is I told you in December that we had hired an associate pastor. That about 3 years ago or 2.5 years ago, I met a man and a woman at a camping trip that our church took, and we just kind of fell in love with them, and over the last 2 years, we've continued to run into them. Well, they came into town this weekend to look for houses and stuff like that, so I get to introduce you guys to Bill and Kathy tonight. So, Bill and Kathy, will you guys come up here just real quick? It's okay to clap for them. Anyway, you guys, these are my friends. Their names are Bill and Kathy Wallenbeck. I told them, I promised them I wouldn't make them talk tonight. But Bill's going to come, and probably ahead of Kathy, they're trying to sell their house right now. Bill's been the pastor of a church in Niagara Falls for 25 years, the senior pastor there, and they're relocating here. And the thing that's amazing, at some point in the next month and a half, I'm going to make Bill stand up here and tell you his story. But they had felt like God was calling them to our community, and they were actually considering leaving their church and coming and being a part of this community before I ever called them to ask them to if they would be willing to hire. And so, anyway, it's just amazing. So anyway, one of the things that they're going to help us do is thinking through what it looks like for us to develop a life together as a community. How to help people connect to the broader community, because we're not just a church about Sunday night. You know what? This isn't church. Church is us building a common life and sharing our life together, and Bill's going to help provide with a lot of us here some ideas and vision for what it looks like for us as a community to enter life together. So anyway, okay, you guys, you don't have to stand up for anything. Wait! Please introduce yourself to them, and as you have been, well, don't mob them, but, you know, please take some time to introduce yourselves to them. Folks, we have some challenges ahead of us. This is, in a sense, this was a weird night for me because this is kind of a weird message. But you know, anytime we have church congregational meetings, nobody shows up. So we just figure sometimes we have to do business here together and to talk about things. And so anyway, I want to invite us to be listening to God and processing together what it means for us to be a community. We're going to step into communion here, but I just want to take a few minutes and just pray together here. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you for our life here together at Jacob's Well. And Father, I confess to you that we long to follow you. We long to be obedient to your leading in our life. And Jesus, we are thankful for the number of people who are coming. Father, we're thankful for the fact that you are transforming our lives and that you are doing things in our lives that we would never guess. And Jesus, we're trying to deal with the reality that you have given us more than we know what to do with. And so Jesus, would you give us wisdom and insight in our lives individually and corporately to know how to respond to you? Father, will you show us how to increase our community in meaningful ways where people are not just growing in breadth but in depth? And that more than that, Jesus, the desire of my heart, that Jacob's Well would be a blessing to the world around us. Lord, at times it feels like we're in darkness. And I even know that tonight here, there's people who feel like they're in darkness, totally unrelated to the issues that we're talking about. And so, Father, we pray for your light. And we ask you to shed your light upon us that we might know you and we might be able to respond to you and follow you. Jesus, thank you for the fact that you lived in darkness at the cross. And rather than lighting your own fire, you entrusted yourself to your Father. And out of that place of deep darkness came amazing and abundant life. We love you, Lord, and we just submit ourselves to you and ask you to show us your way. It's in your name we pray. Amen.